is PPYM is all about reaching teens with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We exist to provide an environment for engaging, encouraging, and equipping young people for life with Jesus. Our desire is to live for Him, for His glory, and through His gospel. Did you know that? I felt like that was something I wanted to start out with, that because maybe we come in here and we just kind of go, I don't really know the point, you know. I mean, it's a service, right? But maybe there's something more than just it's a service, okay? And a guy could get discouraged, you know, if you were like, well, I was expecting 25, I was expecting, you know, 20, I was, you know. And a guy could get discouraged if he just said, well, you know, I don't know that it's really worth it. You know what? I think it is worth it. Matter of fact, I know it's worth it. Guess what? If there was one of you, I think you're worth pouring into. Do you realize that? I mean that. If there was one person here, you're worth pouring into. Because you know what? That's going to last for eternity. And the stuff that we're doing here is not games. It's going to last for eternity. And I take that important, and I hope that you guys do. And so when you realize our efforts here are to pour into you so that you will then pour yourself out, okay? And there's new friends out there that need poured into, okay? And sometimes I can't reach those new friends, but you can, okay? That was free. I didn't even plan all that, okay? But it's important. It's important. And what is one of the greatest obstacles, okay, to us doing that very thing, to us reaching, to us being teens who reach teens with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What's one of the biggest obstacles to providing an environment that's engaging and equipping? And what's one? You know what I think it is? Infatuation with self. Being hung up on me. You guys ever heard that song, My Mind's on My Money and My Money's on My Mind? Right? You could change the words and say, my mind's on me and my mind is on me and what? My mind is on me and me on my mind. I mean, that's true. I'm on my mind. Are you not on your mind? I mean, you're all the time thinking about yourself, right? And it's true of me and it is true of you. It's kind of like you might even come into church and you say, well, I hope I can get something good. You know, I hope that when I leave here, I have something to take with me. Did you ever think maybe you could come and give something? Did you ever think maybe you could come to church offering something? That maybe there is something that you bring to church and you don't just come to take? That's a thought. That's a challenging thought. Maybe even something to scratch your head about and look at yourself and go, what do I come for? Do I come to take or do I come to give something? Because I don't know that God called us to be the church, to be leeches, right? Just be all about sucking it up, right? It's all about me. I don't think so. No, that's not what He intended. And guess what? It's an issue of pride. I want you to say that. Say, I've got a pride problem. Say it. I've got a pride problem. Do you have a pride problem? Yeah. Guess what? I've got a pride problem. You've got a pride problem. It's an issue. You've got a pride problem. I've got a pride problem. And we'll treat church like a therapy session. Let's come in here and feel good. We want to feel good, you know? I've been exhausted all week. I've got junk, you know, and you've got junk. It's stuff you're dealing with. Let's have therapy. Let's come in here and have something that will boost us, fill us up, right? And sometimes we need that. I'm not down in that because we need that. We are messed up, broken people that need to be filled, okay, to be emptied. And we need fresh perspective. We need God to speak to us in a new, raw way because you and I can't survive off of leftovers from last week or even last month. A message you heard 2 weeks ago that was awesome. I don't know. You can't survive off of that. You've got to have that relationship ongoing. And this thing that we're doing here is beyond you and me. It's far bigger than that. It's about a kingdom, really. There is a kingdom. And I talked last week about heaven and the fact that it's eternity and the fact that it's far beyond what we would ever imagine. But even this, guys, guess what? The relationships that we're building right now, if you are in Christ, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and you have a relationship with Him, guess what? These relationships will never end. You don't ever think about that, do you? It's like, yeah, I might know him for a year or two. We might move on and we move off. And guess what? No, these relationships will last for eternity. I think that's pretty wicked, awesome, sweet, don't you? That's pretty cool, right? I mean, so what are we doing with those relationships? You know, we need to build those. So if we have a pride problem, you said it. You said you got a pride problem, didn't you? You said it. I said it. So if we've got a pride problem, Why don't we look to somebody that has not a pride problem? Let's look at John chapter 13. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. I want to look at the most humble person I know. You guys know any humble people? You know any humble people? No? Nobody knows any humble people, right? Okay. Yeah, all right. Humble people. Sometimes hard to come by. If you look at John chapter 13, anybody ever heard about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples? Some churches, guess what? You'll go to some churches, they still do that. Raise your hand if you've been to a church where there was a foot washing ceremony. Okay, a couple of you raising your hands, okay? I've never been to one. I guess if you go in there and they're wearing footies, that's probably a good sign that they're probably going to have a foot washing ceremony. I don't know. And guess what? There's some people who'd be like, yeah, that's crazy, that's crazy. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't, okay? But guess what's even worse is if we say, you know what? Jesus did that and it doesn't matter. He washed people's feet, it doesn't matter. It was, you know, it's pointless. There's an issue if we go there with that. Okay, but I'm not saying that we need to have a foot washing ceremony. You want me to wash your feet? Anybody got? No, nobody's. No, you don't want me to wash your feet. Okay, John chapter 13. Let's check it out. And before we even do that, as we're looking at John chapter 13, I want to kind of set the record straight. Okay, when you think about humility. Okay, message tonight is humble yourself. Humble yourself. Okay, when you think about humility, do you think it's something that happens in your mind? Right. You think about humility, it's a mind thing, right? Let's get that. Let's take that thing that humility is something in your head and it's a thinking thing. Let's take that and throw that out. Okay, let's get rid of that. Okay, because you already acknowledge that you have a pride problem. Humility is not a feel thing, it's a do thing. Okay? And that's a big deal. And I hope that your mind has changed about this because I needed it. I needed a mind shift on humility. Okay? And let me give you an example. I found these illustrations to be helpful. Okay, I'm standing up here. You guys see me week by week, and one of you makes a comment after service, and you say, "Michael, you're getting a little pudgy. I know this, like, there's a little bit of, you know, down here, you're starting to put on a little." And I'm like, first of all, just mind your business, man. Come on, okay. You probably wouldn't do that. But what if you did, and what if my comeback was, well, I've been thinking about exercising. I mean, matter of fact, as you're talking about it, I'm thinking about exercising, and While I'm thinking about exercising, I'm actually starting to sweat a little bit, you know, like my palms are getting sweaty. And actually, the more I think about exercising, I even start to get that euphoric feeling like after you exercise, you know, when you get this, it's a great feeling. And so, you know, I think I'll just stick with thinking about exercising. And you're like, no, it'd be a whole lot better if you just got on the treadmill, Michael, if you actually went to the gym. And I'm like, no, I like to think about exercising. What a stupid thing to say. I like to think about exercising, right? Or here's another example. How about Sarah, okay, she goes to Walmart, she picks up some groceries for us, brings them back home, and I'm out in the yard, I'm playing with the dog, okay, and I'm playing with the dog, and she starts to carry some groceries in, and usually I help her carry the groceries in, but I'm sitting there, I'm playing with the dog, and I'm thinking about how helpful it would be if I went and helped her pull the groceries in, but I don't ever go help her. I'm just thinking about doing it. I'm like, Max, it would be real helpful if I went and, you know, I'm petting the dog. It'd be really helpful if I went and helped her. But I don't ever do it. And then she says, you know, it'd have been nice if you would have helped me carry the groceries in. And I'm like, well, I was thinking about it. That's ridiculous for me to think that thinking helpful thoughts is being helpful. It'd be ridiculous for me to think that thinking about exercising is going to change my little pudge, right? Not happening, okay? Which, I don't think my pudge is quite that bad yet, but, you know, if I continue down my path, maybe it. So you can't think humble thoughts, okay, and be humble. You realize that? It's not a call to think, okay? I think I'll be humble. Look how humble I am. I'm thinking humbly. So let's look at John chapter 13 and see what humility really looks like. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Let's stop right there. Guess what? Humble yourself. Humble yourself when it's hardest to love. Okay, point number one. Humble yourself when it's hardest to love. We read right there, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come. Guess what that means? Jesus knows he's going to die. Can you realize the weight of that? No one in here knows when they're going to die. Do you know when you're going to die? It'd be a shocker if you told me, yeah, actually I do. No, you don't know. But think about Jesus. Think about the fact that he knows he's got that weight on him. He realizes things are coming to an end. Okay? And that moment is coming close. It's about to approach. He knows he's about to be killed. And guess what? You guys know when pressure is coming in on you and things are flooding in on you. And you're thinking about the fact that, you know what? Things aren't just kosher. Things aren't just easy. And when it's hardest to love is when things are not easy, right? When things are easy in your life, is it easy? I don't think it is. There's an opportunity, guys. We think, you know, I'll just turn on the switch. I'll humble myself. No, when things are hard, it's a choice. Humble yourself when things are hard. Because Jesus knew he was going to be killed. And guess what? We're going to see that he humbles himself. You read verse 2, and he says what? He says, it says, during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Who's Judas? He's the guy that's going to betray Jesus, right? You guys know this, okay? He goes on to say that the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper, and then he goes on to wash their feet, and you'll see that unfold. So when it's hardest to love, humble yourself. It's not easy to love when you know that it's the end, when it's approaching the end, right? For Jesus' situation, that's not an easy thing. But guess what else? You have an opportunity, and guess what? When somebody comes on the scene like Judas, and you know he's not for you. You guys know people in your life that are not for you? You have situations and relationships where when that person walks in the room, you get a knot in your stomach, literally. Or maybe you get sweaty palms, or maybe you just feel like you need to get out of the situation. So not only when it's hardest to love, because that is hard to love, that's a hard to love situation, but also when it's personal and painful, right? Because this situation right here with Judas, it's personal, right? He already knows that the devil had put it in his heart to betray him. He knows that Judas is going to betray him, and yet he's going to wash his feet here in a moment. He's going to serve him. He's going to choose humility. Does Jesus have a pride problem? He doesn't. He doesn't have a pride problem. So when it's personal and painful, and guess what? It will be. You guys know that? It will be personal and painful in issues that you have with relationships. Because if you're going to have relationships with anybody, friendship, dating, family, anybody, you're going to have moments where it's personal and it's painful. Well, some of the biggest issues that you're going to have sometimes is with the people you love the most. Okay, sometimes the biggest issues you're going to have is when family reunions come around. You know, and you want to tuck tail and run, but you got to just put on a front, right? And putting on a front is not humbling yourself. That is not what I'm talking about. And that's not what he is talking about. When it's personal and painful, what do we want to do? I tell you what we want to do. Our natural inclination is to do a few different things. The first thing we'd want to do is we'd want to fight, right? When things are personal and somebody said something to you that you're not going to let go, guess what? You want to fight. You just take it right back to them. They said something, I'm going to say something. They brought it on, I'm going to bring it on. You know? You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You ever see Dumb and Dumber? It's like they go back and forth. They're like, yeah, it's just, I dare you. No, I dare you. I double dog dare you. You just go back and forth. And you guys are building, and it is, the momentum is going, and you're not going anywhere. And yet, why? Because you have a pride problem. And I have a pride problem. And so, I will win. I will win this argument. And I'm not going to give up until I win this argument. So we'll try to fight. Okay? Or maybe you'll try to flee. Maybe you'll try to run. You ever do that? Maybe some of you are not natural fighters. Maybe there's this instinct in you. I don't like confrontation. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to run. I'm going to get away from the situation. I'm going to remove myself. But that doesn't fix the problem either, does it? That doesn't fix the problem. Or maybe you're a fixer. Anybody a fixer in here, maybe? I'm going to fix it. I'm going to analyze the situation, the comings, the goings, what could go wrong if I said this, what could go right if I said this, and all the in-between, right? So I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix this person because this is a project and I can fix this. So maybe that's you. But guess what the answer is? Humble yourself. So you're not going to fix the problem. You're not going to fight and win. It's not about fighting and winning. It's not about running. It's not about fleeing. The best thing you can do in that situation is fall. I mean, just fall and realize, guess what? That person's not your enemy. We have an enemy, but it's not that person. And that enemy, Satan, wants you to think that that person is your enemy. Wants you to think that, okay? And even in this situation, Judas, he was used by the enemy, okay? He had an option. Man, could you imagine hanging out with Jesus, eating lunch with Jesus, walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, you know, taking a nap with Jesus, just hanging out, you know, talking small talk with Jesus, you know, walking down the lockers and just hanging out with Jesus and just being, you know, a friend of Jesus that close. And yet, devil giving you opportunity all the time. And he does that, doesn't he? He does that now in your relationship with Jesus. He gives you that opportunity. And for you to say, yeah, I think I'm digging it. I think I'm in it for the money. That's what Judas ends up doing. Jesus knew Judas was selling him out. You ever been in a situation, had a relationship where you knew someone was just selling you out, right? I mean, you've probably been in the situation, I've been in the situation, where I've done something wrong and I've had an accomplice, okay? We've kind of been like, well, I'm not going to, you don't tell on me and I won't tell on you. And then it comes out and it's like, he sold me out, you know? Well, Jesus didn't do anything wrong, okay? So in that situation, we're like, he sold me out, you know, and I'm ticked about it. Nobody did anything to Jesus. I mean, lots of people, I'm sorry, did things to Jesus, but Jesus didn't do anything to them. He wasn't an accomplice in anything that was wrong or cruel or backward or messed up. He wasn't a criminal. And yet he's choosing not to humble himself. He's choosing here to humble himself. So maybe right now you think about somebody. I don't know who this message is for, but maybe you're thinking about someone, you know, someone selling you out or someone sold you out. Guess what? Maybe what they did was an enemy behavior, but they're not the enemy. Okay? Think about that. They're not the enemy. And the enemy would want you to believe that they are the enemy. And the key to realizing that, we just read the scripture here. It unfolds. Jesus, I already read it in verse 3, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. Guess what? The key to realizing that, the key to realizing that you can humble yourself and believing that you can actually make that decision when it's personal and painful and when it's hardest to love is the fact that God has given you promises. Do you realize that God's made promises? Is there any promises that he won't be willing to keep? The reality here, Jesus knows that this is not it, man. And I said it at the beginning, these relationships that we're building now are for eternity. Jesus realized this is not a temporary thing. Okay, this soon will pass. This is it. And Jesus says, I know that the Father has given me. I know who the Father has given me. I know that, guess what, at the end of the book, who wins? I do. Jesus wins. He realizes that. And he loves these people, regardless of the fact that he knows he's going to be betrayed here in just a moment. And I don't know about you, but I've had some people, say or do some things that it was personal and it was painful. It's hard to get over. And it's hard to just say, I'm going to humble myself. That's not an easy decision to make. Maybe some of you guys have heard about the song. Have any of you heard of Matthew West? Okay, he sings this song called Do Something. Okay, and back to the mentality that humility and choosing to humble yourself, it's not a think thing, it's a do something thing. And Matthew West, in his song, Do Something, he says, God, why don't you do something? God, why don't you do something? And guess what he says? God says, I did. I created you. I did. I did do something. I created you. I want to use you in that. I want to use you in that. I want you to be the person to humble yourself. You see the mess. You see the situation. But maybe rather than you wanting me to fix it, I want to use you in that situation. And then it unfolds. Verse 4, Jesus rose from supper, He laid out his... And look at the verbs here. Look at the verbs here. Washing people's feet, okay? He rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. Taking a towel, he tied it around his waist, verse 5. He poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, wipe them, okay? Listen to all these verbs. He's doing something. He's choosing to humble himself, and he's doing something. He's not sitting idly. He's wiping them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Do you think Jesus did a good job when he washed their feet? Do you think Jesus does a good job when he commits to doing something? I don't think he said, let me just wipe your pinky toe. You know, let's just wash that pinky toe's looking a little dirty. I think we'll wipe it off a little bit. Now, I think Jesus did a really thorough job of cleaning these feet. And guess what? We don't understand. Do you understand the foot washing thing? I don't understand that. I mean, if you came to my house and it was like, we're getting ready to eat, okay, and you said, hold on a minute, I got to go wash my feet, you know, I'd be kind of like, dude, that's weird. I don't know that we want to have him back because we don't do that. But in this culture, this is a big deal, guys. I mean, we heard this morning it's important that you know, in this culture, it's important that you wash your hands. You know, back in the Old Testament, it was important that you wash your hands before you eat. And we understand that, right? Washing your hands. Your mom says, you better wash your hands. You know, some of us, growing up, we went into the bathroom and just walked right back out and act like we did. And, you know, but you understand washing your hands. But back here, this is important that they wash their feet. And guess what? When you come in the house, you wash your feet. And guess what? They don't have cool shoes like I do, PF Flyers. They don't have, you know, New Balance. They don't have Converse Chuck Taylors. They don't have what you guys are wearing, your Nikes and stuff. These guys are wearing sandals. These guys are wearing shoes that are exposed to everything in the environment. And they're walking not on pavement. They're not walking on asphalt. They're not walking on sidewalk. They're walking on mud, dirt, dust. Their feet, anybody have stinky feet? Okay, you guys, any of you have naturally stinky feet? You're not willing to admit that, right? I got stinky feet. You're not going to do it, okay? But some of you got stinky feet, okay? I get stinky feet. So these guys are coming in, and Jesus, the last guy that should be washing feet. Would you think, okay, if I asked you guys to say, okay, if I, you know, there's 12 disciples and one Jesus, right? Okay, there's 13. If we want to rank them from 1 to 13, who's number 1 should be washing feet and who's number 13 shouldn't be washing feet? 13 is Jesus. Number 1, who would that be? I'd probably say Judas. This guy's going to betray people. He's the one that ought to be wiping feet. I mean, he's the scoundrel. He's the bum. I mean, he's the guy that should be doing it. And he doesn't. Jesus steps up. Realize the last guy. Okay? And the guy that's not supposed to do it serves. So you want to think about opportunities that you've missed to humble yourself? You go, well, Michael, you're talking about humble yourself. And there's probably opportunities for me to do that. You know how you can know if you missed an opportunity? When you look back and you go, that's kind of below my pay scale. You know, like, I'm not the guy that should have done that. Guess what? You missed it. You missed it. I missed it. I mean, that's... How do you know you missed an opportunity? When you feel like you're the person that's not supposed to do that. It's below you, right? I'm better than that. Jesus didn't have those thoughts. He didn't have a pride problem. Nothing is below me, okay? And guess what? If you're following Jesus, nothing is below you. Nothing is below you, guys. When you think about it, okay, there's some stuff that we can do that's going to just flat out look like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Somebody else gets paid to do that. You know, when you go in behind and clean something, that's somebody else's job. No, that's humility. That is choosing humility. Humble yourself. It's a do something. It's not a think something. It's not a feel something. And I want to give you guys some practical steps. What are some things that you can do? What can I do when we leave here to humble ourselves? Number one, choose a difficult obedience. Choose a difficult obedience. Because we're all the time talking about obey and be followers of Jesus and do this and do that. Man, I feel really good. I read my Bible this morning. Man, I prayed. Pat yourself on the back, man. Shouldn't we be doing that stuff? I mean, do we really need to, I read my Bible. You're a Christian. You should be reading your Bible. And I should too. And we make it out to be as if that's a big thing, right? We're reading our Bible. Yeah, right. Okay. If anything, that's where it starts. Choose a difficult obedience. Choose something that you know is difficult. How about somebody you know, they're not in your class, okay? You know, my group of friends and that person, we're not the same. What if you went and you did something for that person? You literally sat down with that person, you had a conversation and said, guess what? I had it wrong. Hi, my name is. What's yours? What do you like? This is what I like. Let's have a conversation. That's practical. Do we do that? I don't think we do. I have a hard time with that. Associating with those. Help them. Do something for them. Difficult. It's a challenge. Because guess what? The most impact that you're going to have, it's going to cost you something. If it costs you nothing, what kind of impact can that have? I don't know. If it costs us very little, I don't know that it's very impactful. Number two, choose to serve in secrecy. Man, I'll do it as long as somebody can see me do it. I'm up front. Check me out. Look how humble I'm being. I'll do that. No. Choose to do something to serve in secrecy that nobody knows about. You're doing something that only God knows about. You're doing something not to receive a pat on the back, not to receive a, hey, man, that was good. But you're doing it in secret. Because Jesus, he's sitting here washing these people's feet, and he comes over and he gets to Judas and he goes, Judas, I know you're going to betray me, but I wash your feet anyway. He doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't do that. And number three, refuse to be offended. Refuse to be offended. If you just read through this passage and see what happens, Jesus, he is actively washing their feet. And guess what? He comes to Simon Peter in verse 6. If you know anything about Simon Peter, that guy's got a pride problem. You guys know anything about Simon Peter? He's like, hey, you would have known me. I walked on water for a second. I mean, hey, guess what? One time they asked who Jesus said, who am I? And he said, I got it right. I said, he's Jesus. You're the Christ. I got it right. I made headline news. I mean, I'm that cool. Later on, you see the same thing happen in the New. I mean, even after Jesus dies, I mean, he has this opportunity. Basically, he's only preaching to the people that he really likes, you know, that he thinks deserves the message. And Jesus says, hey, man, you need to expand your menu. And then he and Paul get into arguments because, you know, Peter just kind of thinks he's got it going on. And he doesn't. He's got a pride problem. And guess what? Jesus doesn't go to Peter and say, Peter, you've really got a pride problem. I think I'll skip over you and come back. You don't deserve a foot washing. You got a pride problem. Get that taken care of and then I'll wash your feet. He doesn't do that. Okay? So some of you are like, man, I've got a pride problem. But guess what? Jesus comes to you and he wants to wash your feet too. Even if you have a pride problem, he wants to serve you. He's showing us something here. He goes on to say, came to Simon Peter who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? So Simon, he asked, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him and said, what I'm doing right now, you don't understand, but afterward you will understand. And Peter said to him, don't wash my feet. You're not going to wash my feet. He argues with Jesus. He says, don't wash my feet. He basically says, no, Lord. Talk about an oxymoron. No, Lord. Like, Lord of everything, I'm going to tell you no. Okay, that's an oxymoron, right? Peter says, no, Lord, don't wash my feet. And then he says, but if I don't, you don't have any stock with me. You're not going to have any part in me. You're not going to be with me. You don't get it, Peter. And guess what Peter says? Well, then give me a bath. Give me a bath. I was wrong. You're right. Give me a bath. Refuse to be offended. Jesus could be offended by that. Do you not realize who I am? Peter, do you not realize you once said that I was Jesus Christ, but now you don't even want me to wash your feet? Do you realize who I am? He doesn't do that. He goes on and he changes the subject, actually. Jesus answered him and said, what I'm doing, you don't understand? Peter said, you shouldn't wash my feet. He tells him, wash my feet, not only my feet, my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. He changes up the subject. He's not willing to get in a debate. You guys get in debate, right? I mean, you get in a debate. When you're humbling yourself, when you're choosing to be humble, refuse to be offended, refuse to get in a debate about a situation. Jesus did. Humility is not pretending. Okay, he does it clearly right here. Jesus does not pretend that everything is okay that Judas is going to betray. He says, not every one of you is clean. One of you is not, and that's Judas. I'm going to call it out, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to serve him. So what that means for you guys is, it's just as Randy said this morning, to accept is not to approve. It's not to say that what he's doing is right, but I still want to love him. I'm still going to love him. And you guys do that. You realize people are doing wrong things. There's people doing things that you don't agree with. And there are people doing things that are not right. But you love them. You love them. It's not begging. Notice Jesus doesn't lick their feet, right? He washes their feet. He's not licking their feet. Being a servant, humility, is not tearing down the servant. It's not destroying the servant. It's not, please, please, please love me. Please love me. I can't live without you. That's not what humility is. And it's not enabling. Humility is not enabling. It's not, you can never be right in helping someone sin. If you're in a relationship or you have a friendship or some kind of situation where this person is abusing you, whether it's verbally or if it's physically or if it's any of those things, pressuring you to do something that you know is wrong and that is harmful for you and for other people that you're associated with, you do not have to say, well, I ought to be humble. I just go along with this. That's not being humble. And lastly, humility is not manipulating. It's not manipulating. Because, see, Jesus here could have washed Judas's feet and then he could have said, hey, I was humble, what about you? I've been humble now, what about you? You got to be humble too. You got to return the favor. I've been nice to you, you got to be nice to me. Jesus doesn't do that, and we're not called to do that either. It doesn't work. Epic fail. If I think that I've been humble, and I'm thinking about being humble, and then I think about that the results that I got weren't the ones I wanted, I failed. I didn't get it. I missed the boat on humility. I missed it. I'm expecting these results. I didn't get them. So I'm thinking about the fact that me being humble was supposed to get these results. Because really, when you're a servant and you're doing things, you actually get lost in the service and you don't even think about the fact you're being humble. You just get lost in it. Okay, and you're not expecting a pat on the back. You're not expecting good job. You're not expecting a return. Only God is great. If you look and you just see how Jesus treats these people that he loves so much, even the ones that have pride problems, even the ones who are going to betray, if you read and you see right here in verse 14 to 16, he goes on, he says, if you call me Lord and teacher, and I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. You also ought to do the same thing. I've shown you an example. You do it too. He goes on to say, for I've given you an example that you also should do as I've done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. You're not better than Jesus. Jesus served. You're not better than Jesus. A servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. You're blessed if you do them. Only God is great. Say that. Only God is great. Only God is great. I'm not great. Are you great? You're not great. There's no one in here that's great. There's no one in here that's a special person. There's no one in here that deserves. No, we're servants. We're called to that. Guys, you're not. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. And we've got to realize that. And if it's always about me and it's always about you, then there won't be anybody else. It'll always be about you and it'll always be about me. But Jesus right here, he's showing us that a servant is not greater than his master. A servant, a messenger, is not greater than the one who sent him. The point is that Jesus has sent us. Jesus has called us. And guess what? He did these things. Who are we to say we're not going to do them? I'm better than you, Jesus. I don't have to do that. You're not great. I'm not great. I'm nothing, and I've got to do something. I'm nothing. I've got to do something. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody. And that's our mentality that we've got to have. So with those last words, you're blessed if you do something. So if you think, well, that was a good, you know, humility. That sounds good. It's a good token. I'll take that. Everybody could use a good pep talk on humility, and I've got a pride problem. And it's nothing if you don't do something with it. It's nothing if we don't do something with choosing to humble ourselves. It's nothing if you leave here and you don't use this soon or now. Soon or now. Please stand. I want you guys to stand, bow your heads, close your eyes, and think about specific people, specific situations, specific scenarios. Close your eyes, bow your heads, and think. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. You guys can go. What you're thinking about is someone who has done one of these very things that we talked about. They've done something personal. They've done something painful to you. Insult, rumor, gossip, any of those things. It's been personal. It's been painful. Think about that individual, those people. And choose to humble yourself. Choose service. Not fighting, not fleeing, not fixing, but falling. Fall. Just realize, God's got this. And guess what? If the situation never gets solved as you think it should, God's got it. He's got it taken care of. He'll take care of it. The situation. He'll take care of that person. Because the enemy has used them. They are not the enemy, but the enemy has chosen to use that individual against you. Father, I pray that we will choose to humble ourselves. We'll get out of this thought process that we just got to think about it and it accomplishes its purpose. But humbling is to do something, not a think, not a feel. Choosing to humble ourselves, choosing to lay ourselves down. Some of you, I've asked you to think about an individual. Maybe you're having a difficult time, but if you can think of one person, I want you to just slip up your hand. I want you to say, Michael, I thought of one person that I'm thinking about. And I want you to pray for me and how I humble myself in that situation. I see that. There's a person, there's a situation. And I realize humility is important. Father, please have your way in our lives. We realize that you stooped. You went from riches to rags for us to be rags to riches. Help us to be servants like you were. In Jesus' name.